If you're struggling to lose weight, you've probably heard about weight loss medications like Wegovy or Zepbound, and you might be wondering if they're right for you. Meet PlushCare, a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. If you qualify, they can safely prescribe you medication from the comfort of your own home. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss. plushcare.com/weightloss.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
It's like one of those
ASMR things on YouTube.
Just a thing you could listen to.
Yeah.
We'll get the below the line comments saying, more interesting than those other two.
What, Mo?
Yeah, the only interesting Corin. Only got the job because of his dad.
Well, exactly. You had an interesting idea that you raised.
Well, I've got a first story.
Oh, you want to do something else?
Well, I've got a thing which I cut out of the time mostly because I didn't want you to see it, which I think this is...
Oh, this is the one. This is a surprise to me that
It's a surprise. Not because I thought you might say something that was fun. Anyway, it's just basically it's every other idea that we have or that you have today has to be better than this.
Okay.
Bog standard health check wins backing. What do you think that might be about? Doesn't even say who it's by. It's page 5 of the Times. The inventor behind plans for a...
toilet.
Yes! Although it's a lavatory, darling. It's the Times. Toilet? Not talking toilet.
Hang on one sec.
Do you feel like you've seen that before?
Yes, I do feel like we've seen this story before. But no. And aren't all lavatories in Japan talking?
No.
Okay.
They warm your bum, uh-huh. And they raise when you come on, and they fire little warm things at your dingleberries. But...
Right.
So far, they don't talk. And if they do, it's in Japanese.
Okay.
So it's not much use. Konnichiwa. Okay, so but no, so look, the inventor behind plans for a talking lavatory. This is, as in Jerry McGraw. Whoa, you have me at talking lavatory.
Yes.
I don't really have to carry on. The column falls naturally into place. It's just what the inventor behind plans for a talking lavatory that offers medical advice and diagnoses. Oh, sorry. Whoops. As I'm slightly hungover, as you know. The inventor behind plans for a talking lavatory that offers medical advice and diagnoses health conditions has received support for his proposal from a sanitation industry body, Britain's Toilet Board Coalition. That's where the Liberal Democrats ended up. has backed a study by James Woolman, an inventor, on how the new lavatories could help medics. His 35-page report, I'd love to read that, found that the technology already exists to make the, quotes, super loos, which will be able to check temperature, heart rate, and analyse faeces and urine for viruses and diseases. Lateral flow, as it were. Mr. Woolman, who advises companies on innovation, said, although people will still need to visit their doctors, it will save hours of time, as toilets will give health updates from checking temperature to sugar levels. The average person spends 3 years of their life on the lavatory. Sometimes all in one go. If there's something good in the papers.
If it's you.
Exactly, on the lavatory. And uses it 6 to 8 times a day, so it is a highly convenient place, to coin a phrase, well, he's a funny guy, to do a quick health check. The Japanese company, nice one, Esther, Japanese company Toto, which I know well, I stayed in a hotel the Shard in London has Toto loos. The Japanese company Toto, often called the world's biggest lavatory maker, has produced the Flowski, which measures, in conjunction presumably with a Russian company, which measures urine flow to carry out bladder and prostate health checks. Mr. Warman's report was commissioned by Blue, a manufacturer of cleaning products.
Blue. B-L-O-O. Blue Lou.
Do you remember Blue Lou?
Yeah, it's like a cake.
My dad in the 1980s was offered... His agent offered him, the company came to my dad asking, would he be the voice of Blue Toilets?
Right.
But my dad said no.
No.
And they went with Kenneth Williams, who made like £1 million. Blue.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh,
anyway,
Alan.
Bog standard. So first of all, my first thought is obviously column-wise, it's just like I had a chat with my bog.
Uh-huh.
this is a shit column, but I don't mean it in the, you know what I mean? Okay, also, yep. So look, or just to say, what do we think? I mean, who you go down, you wake up, you go down and have your morning poo.
I don't have a voice
beneath your ass, which is your worst nightmare.
My worst nightmare.
Really?
Apart from rats and other things in there.
You'd rather see a rat in the corner of the kitchen than hear something talking to you from underneath your bum while you're...
Well, I did once hear something talking to me out on my television, and that was scary enough. I don't want my loo talking to me
Natasha
either.
Kapinski, but entering
your
psychotic
Natasha Kapinski!
You can't keep referring to your weird psychotic phase.
It was once. It's funny. It's funny
people
now.
People don't understand. It makes them scared.
Okay.
So anyway, so maybe they'll use the voice of Natasha Kaplinsky in my toilet. What I'm saying is I come down...
That's the other thing. Whose voice? It's Joanne Lumley on the tube.
It'll be that...
Orange mobile phone. Always sound like your sister, but she swears
you can presumably choose different voices. Jeremy Clarkson, that sort of thing. Donald Trump. All kinds of possibilities to have... it's fantastic.
No, we've forgotten about Trump now. And I'm not going to do an impersonation.
It's a wonderful bowel movement. So we've got some fantastic bowel movements. Got some of the best bowel movements.
The thing is that you won't be able to make as many disgusting jokes about excrement as you want because they'll take them all out for taste.
Do you think? I'll write the whole column and they'll go, oh, the editor's a bit funny about poo.
I can tell you right now that the editor's probably a bit funny about poo.
I was thinking it was such a good idea for a column that it was like literally we thought they were thinking Giles is struggling for a column. I know. Let's just reveal the talking toilet.
I'm wondering, you will have your wings clipped by something. They'll say the editors doesn't like poo, and you'll be furious. This is a classic example of you making a beeline for the thing you know is either going to get you in trouble or you're going to get pushed
back. The editor would not have put a story about a talking loo on page 5 of his newspaper if he wasn't interested in talking loos. I'm saying, let's take it a little bit further.
It's on page 5, he probably hasn't noticed that it's there. If he was actually interested in it, he'd have put it on page 3.
Maybe it's like, not. What if it, fine, it can test your bowel muscles. Oh, fuck off.
What are your bowel muscles? Have they got anything to do with your dingleberries any chance?
Look, it's not fair. You made me have a second Negroni last
night. No, you demanded. You said, you shook the ice in your glass and made the drinky-drinky motion with it. And I scuttled off like a little housefrau to make you another Negroni, which you necked and then yodeled for red wine.
But I didn't. I got the red wine.
No, it's fine. No. You've done 10 minutes
working
in the afternoon.
It's just Sommelier Champigny, but it's so nice with the dinner that I made. And I'm now feeling a little bit sad.
Oh, chickpea and sausage dustbin that you made last night. Yummy.
Fuck you. Time for Ben now plays the tumble dryer.
Yeah. Right, so the idea that you had earlier on this week, which was really really good, about why don't you introduce it? Because it's not my idea, it's your idea.
What idea?
About the binge watching.
Oh yeah! So I had a big thought.
Yeah, it really
capital
was like
B,
an
capital
thought.
T.
Yeah.
I used to try and it's one of those things. If you want to have a column which is going to be really great and maybe one day anthologizable, but also deliver something new, doesn't just respond. It's like, here's the thing I want to write about. Now look for a news peg. I was thinking about intellectual obesity. And I came to it largely, you know, we know there's an obesity crisis. We know that the people in the developed world, that people are getting fatter. We know that it's largely to do with the diet. It's not the people's fault. It's what the food that they're given. And it's largely, I now realise, because every single guest that Ben has booked on my radio show for the last 6 months has basically been about diets and what you can do with your diet. And it's basically junk food. It's the obesity crisis. It really isn't people eating too many pies and steak and chips. It's to do with fressing on junk food, which gives create with all the kind of salt and E numbers, which is persuading your body that you're hungry and that this is doing you good, but it's really all just carbs. And people, it's the junk food thing. And I read someone saying, oh, the new series of whatever is.
Can I just add one point that you made also earlier in the speech, which is what everybody's really overweight, but they're also at the same time malnourished.
Yes,
and I think that's a really important point to make.
And that was a sort of Hugh Foley Whittingstall point. There was also like lots of books about it at the moment. Yeah, the world is actually now much fatter than it was. The number of, in terms of, there are more people who are overweight in the world for the first time than there are people who are underweight.
And they're all deficient in all.
But they're malnourished, things. It's one of, and they're prey to COVID and all these kinds of things.
And then you linked it earlier this week with something somebody said. Is that right?
I was just thinking about, there was a recommend, everyone's endless thing about Boxes. Bridgerton, it's perfect for binge watching, and everyone's going, I'm binging on Bridgerton. Yeah. Well, no, actually, is that a good thing? Binging isn't good. Binging isn't good on food. We know that binge drinking is bad. A couple of Negronis every night, or one Negroni, is fine. Having 10, bad. Binging is bad. Binging on drugs is bad. Really binging on anything is bad. I think it sounds like it's equally bad with culture. Mm-hmm. People think these things you can binge on. Everything is made to be 40 episodes. So that nobody stops to look, is this thing any good? Take Killing Eve or the Line of Duty. They commission 10 series because one of them was good. And there's diminishing returns. They're all rubbish. And people sort of watch them and sort of belch and stand up and go for a piss and come back and watch another one. Right. And they go, binge watch. Partly they're people, I don't know, without kids, because you end up so knackered you have to go to bed, but other people sitting there just maybe watching 10, like we used to before we had children, watching a series of
it's
The Wire
in
one go.
Like, and all, and I want to say right now that I really, really like Schitt's Creek, which is on Netflix, and I think it's really good and really
Why won't you let me watch it then?
Because you won't like it, and you'll whinge about it, and you'll go, "Who's this? Why is he dressed like that? Why are they talking like that? I don't understand."
Okay, fine,
it.
But it's binge watching. Go on.
So they are 25 minutes long, and you can watch an awful lot of them in one sitting. But there are people who would you binge on, for example, I'm thinking of a slightly more complex television program, such as Chernobyl. Were people binging on Chernobyl?
The point is, if they were, then they were in danger of intellectual obesity, which is to say, thoughtless, non-mindful consumption of anything is bad, and it leads to sort of flabbiness, physical or mental. And I think, so if you take a thing like Bridgerton, horse shit, I mean, we watched it. I mean, you don't just get to take the Georgian period, then get a load of hot people with a bit of, you know, and then just
have them say, but the Labrador was sired by an unpedigreed dog. And he then only has 5 pounds a year.
And call it a TV show. Mm-hmm. And all these middle-class pseudo-intellectual people on Twitter, from the TV critics through, apart from Camilla in the Sunday Times, who called it out for the horse shit that it is, but everything else, she said, and everyone's going, binge, 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 and you don't notice that it's rubbish. Like when you pick up a massive tub of Doritos and you have one, you go, let's have another one. But you don't binge. So it's, and I think it's people's brains are then, we're then rejecting things that might be good. How are people, you know, at the moment, no one's able to go to the theatre. No one's able to go to the cinema and just watch one thing. And so I think everyone is getting, I think COVID is going to result in massive intellectual obesity, where people's brains cease to be able to cope with anything but junk.
Yeah.
And it's not the people's fault, just as it isn't with real obesity. Mm-hmm. It's the fault of, you know, McDonald's, the owners, the Mars corporations, the people who forced this shit on us. Netflix in their grasp for, and then the BBC following suit. Mm-hmm. Everybody trying to model themselves more like Netflix, and the model is get 100 episodes of this shit up there on your platform and then go. And Disney,
then start playing the next episode. Whether you,
and everyone
like,
is
automatically,
and everyone is saying this stuff is really great, and we're looking at it at Bridgerton and going, absolute dog turd.
Bridgerton is terrible, but there is one thing that we did watch a series of, recommended by Ben. Always ask a young person what they're watching on television, because actually they come up with quite good stuff, which is Lupin, which is French.
Yeah, Ben's brilliant idea for that, which is actually leading to a segment that we should be talking about on the radio show. I hope.
Oh, so we should
Ben pulls his finger out and books us some Frenchies. Which is, well, it's
like that Blackadder episode where they have to go to France and get a French aristocrat. Do you remember that?
In Blackadder? The Pimpernel one.
Yeah, the Scarlet Pimpernel one.
Let's not talk about episodes of Blackadder, like those boring bastards who talk about Monty Python. Yeah, so I hadn't realised that the French thing originally came from Ben. I was going to segue from intellectual obesity, because of course we discovered a rather good French show.
I'm not sure Lupin is any more intellectually, you know, sort of stimulating or challenging than any other telly. It's just that we don't binge watch telly. I can't really cope with
Well, everyone, so everyone has noticed, because the thing we, you know, the Lupin has been amazing. It's done better than Bridgerton. That's great. And everyone has also noticed that 10%, the Call Your Agent,
which we've been watching for a long time.
We've been watching for a long time. It's just got a fourth series and it's now everywhere. Yes, we've been watching it for a long time. And I think we've just crawled into series three. Or we still, and other people say, perfect for binge watching. Watch a million in an hour. Put them on fast forward and do some crack, and then watch them just shouting, and it's all subtitled, so we don't have time to read them. Yeah. No, and I think one of the reasons that French things are good, and I'll be discussing it on the radio show, or have already if you haven't got around to this till Monday, about, you know, the French making a comeback, French having done fuck all for years.
Well, first,
and now, and this is not, no, it's not intellectual abuse, because it's a foreign language, so you have to engage a little bit. There are subtitles, you have to either make the effort to look at the subtitles.
And because you speak French, sometimes I question the translation. My French is not great, but I understand a bit. Sometimes I question, actually, this is gonna make me sound like a right penis, but sometimes I question the translation. I say, he said, use the word terrible when he meant okay, and you say, no, in French, the phrase. Pas terrible means not bad.
Yeah.
No, wait. No, it means...
He described something, oh, c'était pas terrible, meaning it wasn't fantastic.
It wasn't fantastic, that's right. But he used the word terrible.
Which is a kind of hyperbole for it was shit.
Yes, see, that's interesting. And it made me sort of slightly happy.
Maybe I just like it because it gives me the opportunity to lecture my wife in the minutiae of French usage.
You actually don't lecture me. You're not one of life's teachers, I've got to say.
There'll be more from Esther and me in our kitchen after a short interlude. But to find out what I wrote about in the end, why not pick up a subscription to The Times and The Sunday Times and enjoy 1 month absolutely free? Just search thetimes.co.uk/Giles Corran has no idea. I've been promised that this will take you to an amazing offer, rather than just a website created by Ben randomly containing all my broadcasting mistakes. Although I'm sure that exists somewhere, it's just going to be up to you to find it.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real life store stage. All the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is there to help you grow. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 36% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Get a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/work. Shopify.com/work.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot. We charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
If you're struggling to lose weight, you've probably heard about weight loss medications like Wegovy or Zepbound, and you might be wondering if they're right for you. Meet PlushCare, a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. If you qualify, they can safely prescribe you medication from the comfort of your own home. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss. plushcare.com/weightloss.
Got anything?
Yeah, well, you've got all the cutouts, my darling.
Cutouts. They're not yours. They're not your stories that you found.
No, but you've got the cutouts of my story. Like, for example, the napping survey and Boris Johnson having a nap. Do you want to talk about napping?
Did we do that last week?
No.
So last week we learned that Boris sleeps in the day. And now we have...
and all day, I think, quite possibly.
You snooze, you lose. Not so fine study on napping. Is that interesting?
I don't know. You can do. It's only you whining on about your boring nap.
Yeah.
Okay, Times page 3 today is about the digging of the HS2 turning up an Elizabethan garden. I thought we could do the day in the life of an Elizabethan gardener. It was designed by Robert Digby. He's quite famous.
Have you heard of him?
Yeah. I think he did Chillum Garden.
Really?
Yeah, or something.
Chillum was built in 1616.
No, it was later, wasn't it?
Heard of Capability Brown?
Capability Brown, yes.
Lancelot Capability Brown. This one's called Robert Digby. Has he got a middle name like Capability? Because Capability Brown, his name wasn't really Capability. I think it was Lancelot.
He's
Brown.
One of the crazy
Capability
byline.
Brown. Yeah. Maybe this guy is like Robert
on time, on budget. Brown Digby.
Robert, you got a cup of tea, Digby. Or
that's some nominative determinism, isn't it?
What?
Robert Digby does gardens.
Oh, nice spot.
Thank you.
Yeah, Digby. Or possibly, it being the Tudor period when all the names came from, maybe that's where the word digger comes
from.
Yeah,
like Ivor the engine.
But maybe he was known as, like, maybe they would do they were called Digbys because they were a long family of gardeners.
Yeah, it's quite possible. Sir Robert Digby. No. Okay, so is that good? Direct Day in the Life of an Elizabethan Gardener, or...
Day of the Life of a Gardener, of an Elizabethan Gardener, is what I showed up late and had a cup of tea, and then I got out the leaf blower and just went, wah, wah, and then I left early and built it.
But don't you know all about Elizabethan Gardens?
Anyway. It's a podcast, it's not the show. Well, obviously, as I went for a wank in the shed.
Oh, I see.
And that's the standard thing. It's like, did Sir Robert Digby in the 16th century keep a load of engravings of topless birds in his shed in this guy? That's what the archaeologists really want to find.
Yeah.
Traditionally,
that's another one that will thrill the editor.
In the shed. Jesus Christ, he's a man of the world. He's been around a bit. He knows that gardeners have a wank. Come on, we've all had a wank in the shed. I actually haven't.
not really enough room in
shed,
there.
You actually, let the listeners know that...
Rattling around.
Esther just glanced towards the shed as I said that, which is... But we have a shed which is... It's not a very deep shed.
It's more of a cupboard, isn't it? It's not really a shed.
Yeah, I know it is more of a cupboard. But anyway, but gardeners, people keep their pornos in the garden shed, don't they?
Okay.
But we can move... It doesn't have to all be porno. But no, what I'm liking with that is the opportunity to do it's either describe it as if it was an ancestor of the Corans.
Right.
So like my garden in the Tudor period, or when the assumptions archaeologists will make when they dig up my garden in 400 years' time, which leads to a tour of my shit garden.
Yeah.
Blah, blah, blah. Funnily enough, I had an email from my sister. Once it comes, I've turned my phone off. I can't be. Why does it take so long to turn a phone back on?
Why
do you have to hold it? Look, holding. No sign of Apple.
Because you probably don't turn it on and off often enough, and it
turn it off all the time.
Okay. So what did the email from your sister say?
It was basically to say that they've announced that the Chelsea. She said, "I've got this idea for a column which would work for our dad." In the days before I met you, my sister and I used to have these conversations, banter, what can we write about?
Right.
I have a column idea for you. Well, it's for Daddy, really, but I don't think he's writing this week. They've announced the Chelsea Flower Show will be in September. And I'm just reading about, quote, the more mellow colours it will feature. I'm thinking you could take us round your show garden. On the left, you see an interesting gap where the hydrangeas would normally be in full bloom, but something else. Here's a fascinating display of slugtooth on the dahlia. There's a pigeon corpse rotting down nicely.
Very good. Not
work only if you haven't got...
No, that works really well. But
what was funny was that I then replied back, "How funny, just preparing for this morning's podcast, and Esther found a story about HS2 digging up an Elizabethan garden and said you could do one of your garden columns. And I said, how long is it since the last time I did the Chelsea Flower Show thing about my shit garden? And she said, oh, at least a year. And I said, okay, well, I'll do blah, blah." So the point is, that's two pegs for the same thing.
Yeah, okay. That's a sign when there's two pegs. Do you want to talk more about gardens, or can we move on to...
Well, having alerted the readers to the fact that I do it basically once a year, can I do it again? Yeah, just different jokes. I normally do it around the time of the Chelsea Flower Show. So I can't do the Chelsea Flower Show peg. But if I do the archaeology one, it would work.
Yeah. But the thing is that you could do the archaeology of the HS2 finding in Elizabethan Garden by Sir Robert Digby. And in the same week, they announce that...
Yeah.
Which, actually, no, that doesn't make any difference.
Why don't they do the Chelsea Flower Garden in January? And then I can take it around my January flower garden. How about that? Here is the squelch. Behold.
Exactly.
Behold the squelchy bit where they play football.
Why bother? Why leave it to chance and do it in September? Why not do it in glorious February or something? Actually, you can't mention both, can you? Because they're two...
I call this installation slimy paving stones you could break your neck on while taking out the compost.
Yep, definitely.
Fox Corner.
Fox Corner. A rotting water pistol.
Yeah, catch it, Ali. Yeah, anyway, so there we are.
Yep, that's good.
Bonnie Tyler has learnt to swim at the age of 69.
I think you're going to say it's learnt to sing.
Now we know what she... Do you know what? The problem was that she's finally got to an age where when she's drowning, singing out, "I'm holding out for a hero," doesn't work anymore. Nobody bothers to come.
Isn't she Total Eclipse of the Heart person as well?
Well, who's holding out for a hero then?
I think it's Bonnie Tyler as well. I think she had more than...
That's why she was holding out for a hero.
Yes.
Because she's like drowning in Bournemouth Harbour and no one will throw her a rubber ring. My point is, she's learned to swim finally at 69. And I could write about swimming. Because it is a slight thing in my... I have a slight worry that my children...
Mm-hmm.
I devoted Yeah, I was in that swimming pool down on the Swiss Cottage every week, and they can't really swim.
I can confirm this, yeah.
And I really wanted children, them to swim.
Our children have inherited my basic unable to do anything in the water. You're a very good swimmer.
But I think it's because I just had lots and lots of lessons, although I had lots of piano lessons too, and I'm shit at that.
Well, exactly.
But, I just learned to swim. My dad took me swimming every Saturday at the same place. I learned to dive. I found a photo of myself the other day on a holiday when I was about six, and my trunks are covered in those badges, which are like swimming 1,000 meters.
Are...
No, it's just so Kitty can now. I got them so they won't drown if they fall in, mm-hmm. but you've got to jump in and get them. Kitty can swim with her head up to the doggy.
She swims like a hippo with her two little nostrils kind of just above the water,
and then
sort of panicking
and does a running four-legged motion like a dog.
Yeah,
and she can get there. Sam wants to. Sam will do the same thing, and when I try and show him to do the crawl, he then like beats up the swimming pool. He does a villainous kind of smash. They can't really swim. I would do it now, but it's lockdown. They can't go for swimming lessons. The pool's not open. I feel a bit bad. You can't really swim.
No, I'm a terrible swimmer.
Which I find, and it's just a bit. It's a bit weird. My father couldn't really swim. There's a kind of class thing. My dad was sort of poor and Jewish, and his dad was a plumber. Although as a plumber, you'd think sometimes you might need to swim if you're not a very good plumber. Get that stopcock off quickly, Mr. Coracle. You'll have to swim home. I think my dad couldn't dive, and he'd sort of ratchet up at the hotel pool, and we'd all go, no, don't do it, Daddy, don't. And he thought he could, and he would launch himself out in a huge belly flop and go splat, and the pool would empty of water, and everyone with drinking their cocktails would be covered, and this huge boom, and then he'd swim to the other side with a breaststroke kick, with his face down in the water because he didn't know how the technique to breathe, with his arm doing a sort of reaching thing until he got to the end, then bang into it, then surface, blow his nose through his hand, and then look up and wonder why everyone was looking at him. Whereas I grew up, I learned to dive all nicely and swimmy, swim, swim, swim. And anyway,
am so shallow that one of the reasons why I married you is because you're good at swimming.
I know.
Because we might have children who were good because of swimming, but they
no. Well, I could do this sort of backflips and stuff like that, and fun dive.
Well,
so I just thought, you know, learning to swim, bit of Bonnie Tyler kind of thing.
Yes, I think that if you did feel like you could kind of eventually put that detail in about how your dad's swimming wasn't great and about how you don't want that you don't want your children to embarrass you at the swimming pool like your dad did. I think that would be nice if you feel like you can talk about your father in that way.
Mo Tenzing has just come onto my shoulder. So
other than that, I wonder what point you're really going to be making with your...
I could tell that... Is there a nice column in swimming?
There is definitely a wider social point to be made that the swimming pools have all been shut, no children. Because schools, the government has a duty to teach children how to swim, right? That's why they're always dragging them off to horrible swimming lessons they don't like. Mm-hmm. And they're all missing out not only on social contact, their ABCs, their 1-2-3s, they're also missing out on swimming lessons, which is quite important.
I think swimming's really important. Will we ever swim again? That's not a bad column.
No,
I don't have to have
one,
that many zingers in it. I had a lot of zingers last week in the peanuts column.
Yeah.
I could write, I think, one of the things, just the feeling of swimming. What? What are you laughing?
Sorry about the column about nuts. It was just so weird. But it was good. Everyone liked it. Sorry.
Yeah, the question is getting a good one out this week. Although, as you know, we say in the column business, one good one, one shit one, and two average ones. So
is it two average ones now?
How many do you think?
You always said one good one, one terrible one, and one okay one.
No, it's two that are okay. One that's really brilliant and one that's
one
shit.
That's dog.
But the other columns have different maths. You know, but we won't go into that.
I think that's good, the swimming one.
There's a story here by the science correspondent.
Which one? Do you mean Rhys Blakely?
Yeah, well, how do you know who he is? So Tom Whipple, who comes on my show.
Who's the science editor.
He's the science editor, and he comes on our show and he's brilliant.
Yeah.
And then he hasn't had a fucking bite. I don't think he's really the science editor. He was until like October. And now he's just this guy who comes on my radio show and is brilliant. But it was never his story because it's never his byline. It's the science correspondent. How do you know the science correspondent?
Because I know the name of every single correspondent in the Times. Test me on
rubbish.
Test me on all any of them.
I mean, can I just say this is no disrespect to my Times colleagues. I just don't really know who... I don't even know who the fucking restaurant critic is. I'm going to test you. I'm going to get a copy of the Times. Okay. Give you an easier one. Why are they? I don't know who any of these people are.
If they've got a title...
Who's the media correspondent?
Matthew Moore.
Right. Okay, that's true. Do you know what? This is a bit that's a bit weird. Again, my apologies to the current correspondents. I just skim through looking for stories. I don't look at... I stop and look at bylines only when I read a shit sentence.
Yeah.
Who's the political editor?
Oh, no, hang on, wait a minute.
Francis.
Elliot.
Yeah.
Sorry.
That's okay. That's all right. This is one of these things I could do it from 1998. I could tell you who
they
were.
I bet you could do the entire cast of Neighbours from it's
like if you ask me, like if you ask me the Queen's Park Rangers, I could tell you the whole squad from 1978 to 1996. Arguably, that's when we were good. India. He's not necessarily our correspondent, but he's fairly fighting from day
to
day.
I don't know.
Hello.
Tomlinson.
Yes, correct. Oh. Well done.
Thank you.
What ho. Tomlinson. Hugh Tomlinson. Indian correspondent for the Times. Marvellous. Do you ever sing a porcelain? Rah. I'll see you at Raffles. And then transport correspondent.
Graham Paton.
Yeah, I pronounce it Patton.
Patton.
Without knowing who he was. Who is, oh fuck off, the Madrid correspondent.
Oh God, it's something.
It's a proper name as well.
Yeah, it is. Is Isambard Wilkinson?
Yes. Yeah. Nobody knows that.
I know that.
How can we have a Madrid correspondent?
No, but you gave it away with Isambard. But
fucking hell,
name.
What a cracking name. He should have built bridges or something.
I know, exactly.
No, that's a great job, Madrid, because obviously, it snowed in Madrid. He must have been so happy. get in the paper. Otherwise what? Otherwise it's a scandal because someone in Seville is serving a paella and the people from Valladolid think that it's not really a paella because it's got the wrong kind of fucking shrimps in it. You don't get stuck. And yet we have a whole correspondent in Madrid. Who knew? Nobody knew this. You've been listening to Giles Corran Has No Idea with me, Giles Corran.
And me, Esther Walker.
It's a Wireless Studios production for The Times, produced by Ben Mitchell. You can listen to us on the Times Radio app or download from wherever you get your podcasts. To find out what I wrote about in the end, you can pick up a copy of The Times or get a digital subscription. And for the full live experience, tune into my show on Times Radio every Friday from 1 till 4.
Imperfect with Rachel Sylvester and Alice Thompson, a weekly series of in-depth interviews with high-profile figures examining how overcoming the challenges of their early lives shaped the people they've become. This week, Ann Summers CEO Jacqueline Gold talks candidly about her parents' divorce and how she coped with a shocking period of childhood sexual abuse.
They say the best form of revenge is success, and I believe that. It was just turning something negative into a positive.
Past Imperfect with Rachel Sylvester and Alice Thompson. Jacqueline Gold, in her own words. Now available as a podcast. Listen on the Times Radio app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.